And now, it's time for our weekly news round. Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
Churches are poised to introduce the first drive-through services during the UK national lockdown in an attempt to encourage churchgoers to return to worship. Enforced social distancing measures could see congregations confined to their vehicles as leaders conduct hymns and Bible readings from a stage in church car parks. First popularized by American evangelists in the 1950s, the services are designed to allow worshippers to attend church events before numbers of people allowed to gather are widened. France and Germany are among countries that have introduced drive-in religious gatherings during the coronavirus pandemic. It comes as Boris Johnson faces increasing pressure from the clergy to reopen churches. In a letter published in The Times early this month, more than 800 clergymen claimed the excessive ecclesiastical lockdown represented a failure of the church's responsibility to the nation. On Friday, Mr. Johnson disclosed he had spoken with the Most Reverend Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, about allowing churches to reopen in a call with the 1922 Committee of Backbench Tory MPs. Under the government's current lockdown strategy, places of worship could reopen on July the 4th at the earliest, but some leaders warned church services might not return to normal before the end of the year. The Right Reverend Sarah Mullaly, the Bishop of London, said there would be need to be significant changes to key aspects of Christian worship for some time to come. She said, "I don't envisage even up to the end of the year we will be back to our normal services. We'll have some churches doing things differently." In Northern Ireland, ministers are due to discuss allowing drive-through services as part of a gradual relaxing of restrictions. The proposals, which have yet to receive final approval, were published by the Northern Ireland Executive last week. Church officials have welcomed the plans with arrangements underway on how to transform facilities. Billy Jones, pastor of the Dunsborough Baptist Church, told The Telegraph, "Hopefully from next Sunday I will be leading the sermon from a lorry which has a platform attached with a sound system. People can tune in to a specific radio frequency from their vehicles too if they want. It will mean the local community can come together with the desire to encounter God and can enjoy the fellowship by expressing faith, even if it is from their cars." Churches in England have said they are monitoring the situation and will consider adopting similar drive-through services if the measures prove successful. Kevin Felix Hollington, pastor at Halling Baptist Church in Kent, said, "We could convert our car park, block the entrance and space chairs out at a 2 meter distance so worshippers will be able to follow the rules and listen to a sermon. I think this could happen in the near future. We have even considered the possibility of having open-air meetings where people could come in clusters and sit down on the grass at the local park to listen to a pastor pray and sign. At the moment, we are doing our services on Zoom, which involves Bible reading and sing-alongs, with a discussion at the end to follow up on the message." The Church of England said it was unable to comment, while the Church of Scotland ruled out allowing drive-through services in its churches. Other churches have adopted imaginative measures to spread their messages to worshippers at home. St. John the Baptist Church in Leicester has turned to Minecraft to teach youngsters about Christianity during the lockdown. The church has been digitally recreated on a server so that the youth club can play Bible-themed games online with each other every Wednesday. On Minecraft, instead of a field and houses surrounding the church as they do in real life, there is a sea with the whale from the story of Jonah to explore, for example. Hundreds of churches from denominations across the UK will divest more than £1 billion from fossil fuels as they call for a green recovery from the coronavirus pandemic. Methodist, Church of England, Baptist and Catholic churches will join 42 faith-based institutions in 14 countries in the biggest ever joint divestment by religious groups. The decision follows several moves from religious institutions to divest from fossil fuel investments. Among the churches who will divest funds from their own investment portfolios are the Diocese of Brighton and Arundel and the Mersey Synod, which represent hundreds of churches. They joined churches in the US, Spain, Italy, Ireland, and elsewhere. Care for the world that has been given to us in an increasingly pressing need, said the Right Reverend Richard Moth, the Bishop of Arundel and Brighton, explaining the decision. In 2018, the Church of England voted to divest from fossil fuel companies who were not on track to meet their obligations under the Paris Climate Agreement to limit global warming. The Quakers in Britain and the United Reformed Church have also already divested from fossil fuels from their centralised funds. In February, the Jesuits in Britain divested its £400 million equity portfolio from fossil fuels. But the latest move will cover sums invested by individual churches and comes after a report early this month from Operation Noah, a Christian charity, which found that no major oil companies would meet their Paris targets. The former Archbishop of Canterbury, the Right Reverend Dr. Rowan Williams, said in response to the report, "The current health crisis has highlighted, as never before, the need for coherent international action in the face of a global threat. Can we learn the lesson and apply it to the global threat of climate change? To do so means taking practical and effective steps to reduce our lethal dependence on fossil fuels." Faith groups represent 350 of 1,400 divestment movements worldwide, as investors abandon fossil fuels at the risk of becoming stranded assets as oil prices drop and renewable energy becomes cheaper. Father Endra Wilyanta, director of the Justice, Peace and Integrity of Creation Commission for the Archdiocese of Semarang in Indonesia, which also joined the call, said, "In this COVID-19 pandemic, it is the exact time not only to reflect, but to act. We have to stop our ecological spiral of death." Priests in the Dublin Diocese have been told their pay will be cut by 25% from this month because of the collapse in church income caused by the coronavirus. Several other dioceses are considering pay reductions because of the lack of Sunday Mass collections. A survey by the Irish Catholic newspaper in 2016 found that curates in Dublin were paid an average of €23,218 a year, while parish priests and administrators received €27,873. All priests in the Dublin Diocese received a letter this week informing them of the emergency measure. "I recognise that Alleluia may not be the first sentiment that comes to your lips as you read this letter. It is certainly not a joy to have to communicate these difficult decisions," Father Paul Taylor told them. Taylor said the pay cut was first suggested at a meeting of senior priests on March the 20th. All present voted in favour, apart from one abstention. The measure was delayed until May, but is being implemented reluctantly because of the depletion of the diocese's common fund, which pays salaries and health insurance and funds the care of elderly and sick priests in nursing homes. If a priest experiences any particular difficulty in his personal financial situation, he should contact the moderator of the curia or the new episcopal vicar for clergy, the letter stated. The diocese's executive committee said priests should appeal to parishioners to contribute to Easter dues. "Why not send them a short letter, enclosing a dues envelope and a stamped address envelope? You might be surprised by people's generosity, just as I have been," the letter stated. Priests were also told to add a donate facility to their parish websites to allow contributions, particularly from young people. "Facilitating cashless giving is not only safer and healthier, it allows what is generously given by the people to be credited to them and enhances the tax-back opportunity for the parish," the letter said. Priests do not qualify for the COVID-19 pandemic payment unless they have been made redundant. Officials are investigating the removal, without permission, of historic pews and other internal fittings from a landmark former church being turned into the Sadler's Wells of Scotland. St Stephen's is a Grade A listed Georgian building designed by William Henry Playfair in the heart of Edinburgh's New Town. It is now owned by the former head of the English National Ballet, who intends to convert it into a world-class dance school and venue. City Council officers are investigating reports that internal fittings are being removed from the 192-year-old building, even though listed building consent is required. The Coburn Association, which protects the architectural heritage of the city, said it was concerned that unauthorized works were being carried out under the cover of the coronavirus crisis. James Simpson, a leading conservation architect, said, "St. Stephen's is one of the most important buildings in Edinburgh. There is nothing to stop internal removals, but it has to be done through the process of getting the correct consent." The Council and Historic Environment Scotland, HES, which has to be consulted on alterations to A-listed buildings, was notified last Thursday after a lorry parked outside the building in St. Stephen Street was seen by locals being loaded with pews and fittings. Mr. Simpson said, "One of the residents spoke to the lorry crew, who said there had been a leak in the roof. You don't fix a leak by removing the pews." Congregations at St. Stephen's, with its distinctive clock tower, went into decline in the 1950s, and religious services were later confined to the upper gallery. The building was bought in 2014 for a reported £500,000 by Leslie Benzies, a video game tycoon and chairman of Rockstar North, the company behind the Grand Theft Auto series. He formed a charitable trust to manage the building for community use. It was sold on to Peter Shelfus, former director of the English National Ballet, in 2017. Mr. Shelfus, who said his Danish parents had fond memories of dancing at the Edinburgh Festival, announced plans to make the church's Great Hall into a world-class theatre to rival the renowned Sadler's Wells Theatre in London, and the other areas will be turned over to mixed commercial, cultural and community use. Part of his project, the Edinburgh Ballet School, opened in September. Mr. Shelfus converted the city's Charlotte Baptist Chapel in Rose Street into a fringe dance and theatre venue. Terry Leventhal, director of the Coburn Association, said, "We are concerned that the COVID-19 lockdown is being used as a cover for unauthorised work. It is important that any work of this type, and particularly important in the case of buildings such as St. Stephen's, has a proper consent." Mr. Shelfus, a choreographer who also intends to create a new dance performance company in the city, said, "Some of the pews have been removed to storage because we are carrying out emergency work due to water damage. They have been catalogued and they will be put back in." He had contacted officials previously out of courtesy, he said, though he did not think he had to every time work was carried out. "I love that building and this was emergency work," he said. "It is an old building, and it's time the work was done to avoid damage to the pews." A spokesman for the City Council said, "While planning permission is not required, listed building consent may be required for the removal of the pews and any internal fittings and fixtures. This case is now logged with our planning enforcement team, who will carry out an appropriate investigation." HES said, "While we have had pre-application discussions with the owner of St. Stephen's Church, we were not aware of these works. Listed building consent would be required for such works, which is granted by the planning authority." And finally, Pastor Jamie had been advised by his doctor to lose 30 pounds or risk serious health consequences. The good pastor took his new diet seriously, even changing his driving route to the church to avoid his favourite bakery. One morning, however, he arrived for Bible study carrying a gigantic devil's food cake. The class chuckled and teased him, but Jamie's smile remained cherubic. "This is a very special cake," he explained. "I accidentally drove by the bakery this morning, and there in the window was a host of goodies. I felt this was no accident, so I prayed, 'Lord, if you want me to have one of those delicious cakes, let me have a parking place directly in front of the bakery.' And sure enough," he continued, "the eighth time around the block, there it was." My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.